MoneyWeb now on the money.
This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. I'm chatting with Paul Hutchinson, 91 sales manager. Paul, good to chat again. 30th annual quantitative analysis of investor behavior. Bit of a mouthful, but a study to the end of 2023 shows that, short answer, investors underperform markets. We are not as smart as we think we are.
Correct. And it's a fascinating study, and I look out for it every year. And every year, I hope that we've learned something from the previous year. And unfortunately, every year, Dalbar, who's the financial services market research firm that undertakes this study, reconfirms that investor behavior, the way they buy, sell, or switch into or out of unit trust funds, costs them. And simply, what that means is that their actions result in them underperforming the actual performance of the fund, and in some years, quite materially. And what's interesting is that, for example, if we take the calendar year 2023, the US equity market was up a magnificent 26%.
Yeah.
And the average US equity fund investor only realized just under 21%. So their behavior cost them a significant 5.5%. And if you just think of the compounding effect of that over the long term, it really results in a significant change in the retirement that you can come to expect. And what's, I think, equally fascinating is that the underperformance tends to be more material in strongly positive markets. So when the equity market is up significantly in the US, the degree of underperformance by collective investment scheme or unit trust investors is more material than in periods where markets do less well. So investors aren't benefiting from market performance to the extent that they potentially should over the longer term.
And 5.5%, as you say, a massive number if you compound it over decades of investing. Do we see similar in fixed income and bond market? Because this is equity returns. Same in the fixed income?
So they look at the US bond market, and there, obviously, US bond returns have been materially lower. In 2023, the US bond market only delivered a 5.5% return. Mm-hmm. But the average investor return was half that, less than half of that, at 2.6%. So the effect is similar, and it goes to, I think, investors thinking that they can time the market. They can exit and enter the market at the right time. And the evidence certainly suggests that they can't and reinforces that message consistently over time.
And then it becomes as simple as stop trying to be clever and do the old-fashioned, which is, you know, buy the market consistently and do nothing.
Correct. So that's one of the key messages that we think investors need to hear. And one of the reasons why they need the support of a qualified financial advisor, because the key message is to stay the course, to stay invested and reinforce this prudence of a long-term buy and hold approach. And it really goes to, I think, all of us underappreciating how long we should be invested for. Mm. So if you take someone who's entering the workforce today, they potentially have a 40-year time horizon, but actually it's 40 years of accumulating assets, and then they can expect to decumulate those assets in retirement over the following 30 years. So someone entering the workforce today probably has a 70-year time horizon. And then if I look at myself, I'm 56, I think, so I can see the promised land.
Yeah.
And everybody I talk to says, well, you've got 4 or 5 years of investment time horizon left. And in my mind, I'm going, no, I have a 35-year investment time horizon. So even now, at 56, I shouldn't be trying to time the market. I can continue to stay invested because I have a long-term investment time horizon, even from this age.
That's a great point, because I think we do. We kind of think that our investing is sometime around 60, 65. That's it. We clock out of the office for the last time, and now we don't have investments. We start drawing down. We are drawing down on our pot of money, but it is still out there. It is still being invested. And maybe we tweak it in terms of risk profile, but it's still in the market.
Correct. And that's the key point. Yes, you may want to de-risk it to a degree, but recognize that when you retire, you probably have a 30-year investment time horizon. Therefore, you need to be invested in growth assets because you need to factor in the debilitating effects of inflation. And who knows what inflation is likely to be in 10, 15, or 20 years' time. So you do need that exposure to growth assets, even in retirement.
going back to the financial advisor, they become almost, I mean, they're there to help you with that de-risking and before that with the risking part, but they're almost like your therapist. I mean, they're talking you off the cliff edge from time to time, I imagine.
Absolutely. And it's this whole counseling of investors. And this enters this whole realm of behavioral finance. And one of the other key points is for investors to be aware of the negative impact of behavioral influences. And that really is things like loss aversion. We kind of feel the pain of loss more than the pleasure of gain. In a market correction, you need to be able to just stay the course, stay invested. And that's where a financial advisor can counsel you and explain that over the long term, a short-term market correction doesn't materially impact you if you have a long-term investment time horizon. I quite often like to point to the chart of, let's call it the S&P 500. And if it starts bottom left and ends top right over any meaningful time period, and that's telling you that over time, equity markets go up. And you just need to be able to mentally look through this admittedly very painful period of potentially minus 20, but it's only when you sell when you're 20% down that you capitalize that loss. And then it's very difficult to determine when to re-enter the market, because a buy and sell strategy means that you need to make two decisions. One, you need to decide when to exit the market. And then equally importantly, you need to decide when to re-enter the market. And the probability of getting both of those decisions right, or relatively right, is, I would argue, quite high.
Yeah, I take your point in that. And it's what I often say to folks. If you're looking at a short-term chart, just zoom out because the noise kind of fades
100%.
Away. Paul Hutchinson, 91 Sales Manager. Appreciate the time. The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit StanLib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.